Welcome to day 109 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards. We're looking at the fifth commandment, and we spent the last 2 days looking at the duties and the sins of inferiors toward their superiors, that is, the duties that inferiors, those under authority, have to those who are over them in authority. Today we'll begin looking at those who are over others in authority. And we'll ask in question 129, what is required of superiors toward their inferiors? Tomorrow in question 130, we'll ask about the sins of superiors toward their inferiors. But today, question 129, what is required of superiors toward their inferiors? Answer, it is required of superiors according to that power they receive from God and that relation wherein they stand to their inferiors to love, pray for and bless their inferiors, to instruct, counsel, and admonish them, countenancing, commending, and rewarding such as do well, and discountenancing, reproving, and chastising such as do ill, protecting and providing for them all things necessary for soul and body, and by grave, wise, holy, and exemplary carriage to procure glory to God, honor to themselves, and so to preserve that authority which God hath put upon them. Now, as we have seen, that first line is important. According to that power they receive from God, sometimes God gives superiors power that they should not have as a judgment against the inferiors. For example, in 1 Samuel 8, when the inferiors rebel against God, God gives the superiors power over them as a judgment. And of course, that line, in the relation wherein they stand, some superiors are not in a relationship to inferiors where they are obligated to, for example, provide for them all things necessary for soul and body. For example, kings providing all things necessary for the body of inferiors would result in a kind of massive socialism. The government doesn't feed us, for example. On the other hand, in Egypt, Joseph was given such power by God to become a complete socialist dictator over Egypt and did provide those things necessary for the body, that is to say, food for the Egyptians. So a lot of interlocking relationships here that need to be discussed in detail. We're only going to look at it generally according to the answer that's in the catechism. And the first section is that the superiors are required to love and pray for and bless their inferiors. So let's look first at love their inferiors. Two examples given. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Titus 2:4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Superiors are required to pray for their inferiors. 1 Samuel 12:23, moreover, as for me, Samuel, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Job 1:5, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all, that is, his children. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. And a duty of superiors to bless their inferiors. 1 Kings 8:55 to 56, and he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised there, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. Hebrews 7:7, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Genesis 49:28, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them, every one according to his blessing he blessed them. It's the duty of superiors to instruct, counsel, and admonish their inferiors. Instructing is seen in Deuteronomy 6:6-7, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Counsel and admonish. Ephesians 6:4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, obviously, the government, when it takes upon itself the role of educator in this superior role, is in massive violation of these biblical duties by imposing secular education on their inferiors. And one might say that our government has provoked its inferiors to wrath by failing to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The superiors are to countenance, commend, and reward such as do well. Countenancing, 1 Peter 3:7, "Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Commending, 1 Peter 2:14, "Or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well." Romans 13:3, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." And rewarding such as do well. Esther 6:3, "And the king said, What honor and dignity hath been given to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, There is nothing done for him." Discountenancing, reproving, and chastising such as do ill. Romans 13 talks about discountenancing, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doth evil." Reproving and chastising such as do ill. Proverbs 29:15, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." 1 Peter 2:14, "Or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well." Protecting, superiors protecting their inferiors. Job 29, "Because I delivered the poor that cried." Now, I should mention here that Job, by the theory of many theologians, was a king. He wasn't just your next-door neighbor, but he was one of several kings in the area in that day, and that his friends are actually kings. But they're very powerful people, and so they're seen here as superiors. "Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not I searched out, and I brake the jaws of the wicked and plucked the spoil out of his teeth." Isaiah 1:10, "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of God, ye people of Gomorrah. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow." And providing for them all things necessary for soul and body. First for soul, Ephesians 6:4, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And body, 1 Timothy 5:8, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." And by grave, wise, holy, and exemplary carriage to procure glory to God. 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Titus 2, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Superiors are to honor, are be an honor to themselves. 1 Kings 3:28, "And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment." and so to preserve that authority which God hath put upon them. Titus 2:15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. To preserve that authority which God hath put upon them. Yet at the same time, there is a sense in which superiors are to divest themselves of authority in the way that God wants that to be done. For example, parents are to turn their children into parents and not to remain perpetual parents over perpetual children. In the same way, perhaps Numbers 11 suggests a duty of all political superiors to nurture all their political inferiors into godly superiors, because we inferiors are all to be priests and kings. And kings, as the Bible describes them, as nursing fathers, should nurture their political children into maturity, and then they would have no role to do. In 1 Samuel 8, when Israel asked for a king, they were in fact behaving as bad inferiors, that they should have been willing and able to judge for themselves, that is, to undertake to resolve the disputes, to carry out the functions of creating a godly society, and they did not need a king like all the nations. God gave them a king, and as long as God wanted that king in office, the king had duties to preserve his authority and to be a godly king. But the big picture here is one of superiors turning their inferiors into mature subjects. We'll come back tomorrow on day number 110 and look at the sins of superiors. Today we looked at the duties of superiors. Tomorrow we'll look at the sins of superiors.